Our lectionary gospel reading for today comes to us from the gospel according to Matthew. I am sharing with you the very, very familiar parable of Jesus, the parable of the sower and the seed. I will be reading to you from chapter 13. And I invite you to listen for the word of God to you. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone who has ears listen." The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures for a while. And when trouble and persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May God bless this reading of his word to us today. Please be seated. Won't you join with me in prayer? O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I just have to say that it's a really good thing that Jesus never consulted me before sharing this parable. Because I think if he had, I would have said, "Don't you think a completely different version would have been far more impactful?" You see, I would want the parable of the sower and the seed to go just like this. There was a sower who was a very, very smart man. He knew he had only so much seed to sow, and it was really, really fine seed, and he knew that it would create a really, really fine yield. So he decided, first of all, to survey the soil to see which soil might be most beneficial for the yield. In fact, he took a little bit of the soil into the soil testing bureau to first see the pH balance of it, maybe how much lime was in it. And then he decided, okay, this particular small area of square footage, that's the ideal place to sow my seed. He wanted to be efficient after all. Then he decided to make sure that all the other conditions were just right. I mean, he watched the sun. He got up early in the morning. He saw how the sun fell on that ideal plot of land. Too much sun would hurt the seed, you know, maybe burn up the seed before the day's end. He also made sure there are plenty of bird feeders around. Bird feeder so that the birds would have a lot to eat and wouldn't have to snatch up any of the seeds that he sowed. When the day came for seed sowing, you can bet he was well rested. He didn't want his focus to be compromised. His plan was to take his time to sow the seed very carefully into the ideal plot of land. He went outside. On a picture-perfect day, he threw the seed with, you know, such careful aim, and at the end of the time, he was really proud. He thought he had done such a good job. He knew of his efficient labor. He had this real sense of fulfillment before he went to bed for the night. When it came time to count the yield, he was pleased as punch. Soon after that, he decided to start strategizing for the next year's crop, because he could tweak things a little bit so that the next year's crop would even be better than what he had done this year. And he looked forward because he had foresight. He had responsibility. He was a really smart man, after all. Well, this doesn't even come close to Jesus' parable, but I like it better. I like to think that we can sort of have foresight as far as our actions go, and we can see what good results there will be ahead of time. I like the idea that we can really work on our execution and avoid failure at the outset. Why does the sower just throw the seed with such abandon, right? With such uncertainty as to the seed's fate? How about this as an answer? Life never comes with it any platinum kind of guarantee. We don't have guarantee about the results of our actions, guarantee about the consequences of what we do, no matter how well prepared we are, no matter how right we feel about the good that we do. I mean, the future, right? The future is just that uncertain. God's love is certain. God's care for us is certain. God's will for good is certain. God's desires for our hurting world, they are all certain. That God is for us and never against us, as Paul says to the church at Rome, well, that's certain. That there is nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that is certain. But the fact of the matter is, we can do very, very little to control the results of our actions. No matter how good, right, our actions may be. And furthermore, the sower sows just so extravagantly, in a non-judgmental way, with love and with utter abandon. It's almost wild to think about it all. But any less than that would not have been true to who he was as a sower. And I'm thinking that any less than throwing the seeds of non-judgmental love or peace or justice or whatever good that we can do, that is what God wants, because anything less than that would not be true to the nature of who we are as made in the image of God, filled with love and grace and the knowledge that peace is what God truly wants. And it's not as if we can ever truly pinpoint or determine a good result or a bad result to something. Haven't you had experiences where, you know, you felt like things went really badly, but then they turned out differently? Or experiences where you felt like things went really well, and then, it didn't turn out really how you wanted it to. There's this old, wonderful Chinese story about a man who was just a prosperous farmer, and he had a horse. But one day, the horse ran away. Terrible, terrible fortune. Eventually, though, the horse came back with a wild horse with him. Good fortune. And then the man's son decided to train the wild horse, and so he worked so hard with him, and finally got the ability to ride that horse, but then he fell off the horse. Terrible fortune. He broke his leg. He knew that he would have to live through life with a limp. One day, army came through town. The call was to fight the barbarians. All the young men were asked to serve, but the man couldn't serve because he had a limp. Good fortune. We never know. We never, never really, 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 truly know. And we can't always pinpoint the good, right? Or the consequences that we do that we believe are good. There's an old Greek saying, society grows rich when the old plant trees under the shade of which they will never sit. What we do now may not bloom for years and years and years to come. Even it may not bloom until we are long gone from this earth. And someone that we've never met, an acquaintance that we never ever know about, may feel impacted by some action that we do today. That's a wonderful thought, truly a wonderful thought. But even so, we have to hold this idea tenderly, right? And carefully, and not get too attached in it or too wrapped up in it. I think probably the gardeners among us know this better than anyone else. And speaking about this kind of hope, I love what this master gardener has written in her blog. We plant and have hope that flowers will come just as the plant tag promises, and hope that someone will benefit from our labors. As far as an art form, though, garden design and gardens themselves are fleeting. It takes very little time for a well-tended and loved garden to become a tangle of weeds if neglected. And even if they are cared for, without the guidance of the original gardener, the voice can be lost. Because after all, gardens are dynamic. Such lessons to be learned from gardening. So what then is the answer? Well, I think there really are two answers mainly. Remember what Paul says to the church at Galatia. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Who's to say when that harvest time will be? Who's to say if that harvest time might be of a true intangible nature? I think about the man who used to go out in Sarajevo, in the town square, play his cello while snipers were shooting, while bombs were blasting. And he just did it because the world needed music. The inherent goodness of the love that we share, the kindnesses that we offer, the help that we reach out with, that is huge. That is huge no matter what. And it is important no matter what, and it is the right thing no matter what. And secondly, and I think this is extremely humbling, we have to remember there are times in our lives but we really don't do well with what God initiates in terms of the results of what God initiates. Terry Reister is a Presbyterian pastor, and he said this: "I shall remember times when those wretched birds got seed probably intended for me. I will remember times when I had absolutely no depth as far as my faith was concerned, and times when the weeds and the thorns distracted me from what I ought to be up to. Occasionally, they still do. Somehow, I have been able, by the grace of the wind of God, to pick up some seeds that landed on my soil in spite of my awkward unreadiness. I have at times obtained the fertilizer needed from a few good friends with their nurture. And it was that nurture that was able to help me be who I wanted and needed to be. And it happens now and again." Think about it. God is always and continually and never will stop throwing seeds of wonderful, life-giving goodness at us, and it is up to us to receive, not when we've completely completed the course, not when we are only ready. God just keeps throwing and throwing and throwing. That's just who God is. I'd like to close with some really impactful words of Thomas Merton. May you hold these words in your hearts today. "Do not depend on the hope of results. You may have to face the fact that your work will be apparently worthless and even achieve no result at all, if not even results the opposite of what you expect. As you get used to this idea, you start more and more to concentrate not on the results, but on the value of the rightness, the truth of what you do itself." May God bless this challenging word to us today. Amen. Let us pray. Ever-living God, we open our hearts to you and ask that we can receive what you give to us as if receiving with good soil. And help all of us as we sow our own seeds in life with extravagant love so that there may be justice and peace. Help us have faith and confidence. Even though we don't know where the seeds will land or even the results will be, we ask for your guidance and your grace to keep on keeping on doing the right thing, because that is what you intend for us as reflections of your love and your gracious care in our lives. Be with us on our journeys. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.